Appreciate you volunteering, Logan. Means the world to us.
Thank you.
Good morning.
All right, where am I reading from? Right here? Yeah. All right. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Good?
Yeah, you're good, man. That's awesome. Thank you, Logan. I love it. Chris, can you put that back over there for me? Thank you. All right, if you are a guest with us here this morning, I just want to let you know that what you're going to hear is me just being raw and real and honest about this passage of Scripture. Now, this is just the next section of verses that we've been studying because we've been going through 1 Peter. In the fall, we're going to start 2 Peter. And so one of the things that if you've not spent any time with me in a small group setting or one-on-one, and we have not had the privilege of hanging out together, I just need you to know that these verses are super near and dear to my heart. These are verses that this morning, I'm going to do my best to get through this, but me just trying to be raw and honest and authentic with you this morning, I'm just going to be straight up. I've already shed a lot of tears in the preparation stage. And so I can't make any promises about the delivery portion. because these verses are actually the model for my life in ministry. As a shepherd, a minister, pastor, bishop, elder, whatever term you want to use for what I do. These verses have impacted my lifestyle as well as my leadership approach. If you don't know me, I strive to live as a servant leader. And I strive to live by example. Now, I do not feel, and this is just my opinion, that the strength of this, my ministry efforts are actually during this time on Sunday morning. This time is super important. And I'm so super glad that we're together this morning. But I feel like, and please don't get me wrong when I say that, but I really feel like that the strength of what Lori and I have been doing in our lives is primarily who we are and what we do the other 6 days of the week. It's the way Lori and I strive to model servant leadership. It's how we humble ourselves to invest in people. Now, I've asked Missy if she would come up here and help me this morning, because as you look up here, you can see that we've got this tub and thank you. Another willing participant. You can just sit right there. So, in the scriptures, when we read this, and there's a lot of people that they, very pretty, by the way, just want to mention. This is a little bit awkward for us as Americans, typically. But when you understand the culture and the context of what the scripture is talking about, when it was revealed, when Jesus literally got down with his disciples and he was going to wash their feet, that there was understanding of that culture and that time that was not something that was typically appropriate for a man that was a teacher, that was a rabbi, that was the type of esteemed leader that he was. It wasn't typically something that he would participate in. And so it's such a vivid example of servant leadership, and that's why I want to just bring your attention. And that's why when Jesus did this with his disciples, and you think about even what he did, he actually washed Judas' feet. That's another whole consideration. But what I want you to just think about this morning is that Christ modeled servant leadership throughout his entire life and ministry. And what we're going to do is we're not going to just bang on each section of chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I want you to just consider some things as we pan out. Jesus' example as a humble servant, please hear me when I say this. If you go back and read the scripture, his example as a humble servant was actually confusing to some people. It threw him off. For others, Jesus' humble servanthood, it actually created frustration for some. And for many people, it stood out as uncommonly extraordinary. They were just blown away because he didn't meet their normal expectations. Now, I want you to understand, my goal and our goal at MVC, and there again, if you're a guest and you don't know anything about us, then welcome to our service. This is, you get raw and real, and we're just studying through the scripture. But here at MVC, our goal is to model Jesus as best we can, struggling human beings, but to model Jesus as best we can by walking the way that he walked, by talking the way that he talked, and living the way that he lived. Now, I can just tell you that for me, I'm trying to walk in the New Testament early church believer manner, what they were called to do. And if you look at the scripture, is that the term that was given to these early believers, and just so you, just to remind, some of you may not know, but a lot of the labels that were placed on people is not labels where they labeled themselves. It was what other people on the outside said, these are little Christ. Then they were called Christians. They were, people said, these are people in the way, and so they were considered people in the way. And what is it? Like John chapter 14, what does it say? It's a really simple phrase, but Jesus is the way. And so what we're trying to do here is we're trying to learn to walk in his way, to walk in that way. That's what we're trying to do. Well, that's what our goal is. That's what we're striving for. So I'm just going to say that as I'm both older, experienced, and seasoned. I didn't get this by accident, okay? And I'm also a spiritual leader, a shepherd, or elder of whatever term you want to use, the flock, the body, the family, but we're referred to as the church. And my primary focus today regarding the first four verses is to fine-tune the application in verse 5. Let me throw out the word humility. That's why the title of the lesson this morning reflects the point, humility proclaims a living hope. It's humility that proclaims living hope. Think about that. We don't have time today to do a deep dive on what it means to humble yourself before God and others, so I'm going to give you some cursory considerations. I want you to think about this. What I do want to point out is that humility is imperative in the kingdom of God. Humility is imperative in the kingdom of God. Maybe some of you have never considered this. Do you understand? I want you to consider that humility is absolutely necessary for salvation. Humility is necessary for salvation. Humility is necessary for living out the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons why I believe that we don't have the grandness of the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling and living and flowing through us the way that God desires for us is because we have too much of ourselves in the way. We're too proud, we're too arrogant, we're too self-sufficient. Humility is necessary for a God-honoring marriage and family. Lori and I spend a lot of time in the trenches with husbands and wives. And you're trying to get them to come together in unity, and it's difficult when there's no humility and there's a level of arrogance and self-centeredness, and this is my world and I want my way. Humility is necessary for a God-honoring marriage and family. Humility is necessary for us as a church to be the bride of Jesus Christ our Lord. Humility is necessary for us to shine the light of Yeshua in this dark world. Now, what I want to do real quick is I want to give you some antonyms, opposite word considerations for the word humble. Now, these are from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. You can look them up yourself. But I want you to think about the opposite words of what we're talking about for humble and humility this morning. Arrogant. Egotistical. Conceited. Haughty. Superior. Pompous. Pretentious. Cocky. Smug. Self-centered. And I added one for our application today. Self-promoting. Self-promotion. And you can look up different definitions of humility and gain your own understanding of what it means to be humble. We're not, like I said, this is a deep study just considering this humility. And we're going to come back again next week because there's a follow-up in verse 6 of this whole principle. And it's throughout the whole chapter. And it's super important. And I want you to just think about this. And I'm going to say this. I'm trying to be very careful because there's so much that I want to say here this morning. And I'm just trying to stay on point. But so many of the terms that I read, many of us have seen and experienced church leadership in our country that exhibit some of those very words within quote-unquote Christian ministry, so much to the point where it's almost commonplace. Where if we are not part of this self-promoting, like, you know, and it's not like we're not taking this pompous, arrogant, like, yeah, y'all come to us because we got the best thing going on. And you get what I'm saying? And what we have to do is, the reason I mention that is because we have to evaluate our own hearts and souls and minds in reference to what we're talking about humility here. Now, I'm going to give you, this is a Tim Duggan's combined definition of humility, and you're probably not going to read or find this anywhere else, but this is just what I've learned through my own study, my experience, and my personal understanding. So here we go. Let me give you my expanded definition of what humility is, because some of you are like me. You come from church backgrounds where you've been fed a lie and you've been skewed in your view of what humility is. So you're not going to see that you're supposed to be a doormat. You're supposed to let people punch you in the ear and the forehead because you're going to bring glory to God and you never stand up for yourself. That's not what humility is in the scripture. There's some other things involved. Acknowledging the reality of your existence before God. Acknowledging your rightful place in his creative design. What does that mean? He is the creator and we are the creation. You have incredible potential because he has placed that potential within you. And think about this. Humility reminds you of the source of your gifts, your strengths, and your abilities. All of us, the gifts and the strengths and abilities that we have, it's not like you in your mother's womb said, yep, I'm going to take that. So when you get out, you're like, oh yeah. No. They're a gift anyway. And to humble oneself is to gain great respect and strength for living both now and for eternity. So let me say this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, spiritual leaders must humble ourselves. And honestly, if you have never applied that standard to spiritual leadership, it needs to be one of your qualifications. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, every single one of us who say that we believe and follow Jesus, what did the scripture say when Logan read it earlier? All of us. There's nobody in here that says, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus. All of us are to humble ourselves before God. Every single one of us. You don't get a card. You don't get a caveat. All of us are to humble ourselves. All of us are. As I said earlier, I'm older, I'm experienced, I'm seasoned. And if you don't know me, I just want to say this. As one of the spiritual leaders in this church family, I do not lord over people within this church family. If you don't know, ask somebody else. I don't lord over people here. I do not expect to be given extra special treatment as if I am superior or I'm in a superior position. I don't ask that. I don't seek that. I don't look at that. And if you pay attention to where I park my vehicle, it is not typically in the most convenient, closest spot. For those of you who've been around since the very beginning at the Stone Chapel, and if you look down the hill, if you don't know what I drive a 2002 Ford F-350, four-door, big old, it's what a gift. And my wife is driving the other vehicle, it's a Honda Fit. And when you come here, usually what you're going to find is if you know my vehicles, they're going to be the furthest away or some of the furthest away from the front door or the side door of this barn. And I want you to make it, if you don't understand, I have done that intentionally from the very beginning. For reasons. Some of you have watched me do that and you've learned from my example. Others of you watch me do that and you're like, that's good for him. I'm going to fight for this spot up front. Everybody makes their own decisions. But my goal is to model. My goal is to be an example of what we're trying to pursue. So let me just say this. This is a different, and I want you to think about this because I think this is super important as we get into verse 5. Humility inherently reinforces accountability. Because humility creates a structure. And humility, by its very application, reinforces accountability. And the scripture says that younger, less experienced followers of Christ are meant to be subject to the elder leadership. The elders and spiritual leaders in the church, and I can tell you here, we are motivated by love. Now, I can tell you that I am so thankful that we are going through these verses now at my age as opposed to 20 years ago. Because this is difficult for us to stand up and talk about. Because if we're trying to lead in humility, these are some challenging verses to communicate. I want you to understand that we're motivated by love. We are striving to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. And what do we say regularly? How do we do that? Love God, love others, then we serve God and we serve others. That's our mission here. It's about the gospel. It's about making disciples. That's what we're trying to do. We communicate, we plan, we confront, we challenge, and do the hard things because we love God and His plan more than ourselves. I am not by nature a guy that likes to walk into situations where I think I'm going to face a buzzsaw. But we're willing to do the hard things because what He has asked us to do, what the scripture says and what the scripture teaches and the teachings of Jesus is way more important than Tim Duggins. Some of you, and here's the hard part, because I've experienced this more the last 3 or 4 years than ever before. Some of you will come to me and they'll say, Pastor Tim, I need your help. I want you to stand alongside of me. I want to be the man that God wants me to be. I need your help. I need you to hold me accountable. Then we get to a point where I come back alongside, we'll hang out, and I'm like, hey, man, what's going on in your life, your decision-making, what's happening? And then all of a sudden, they turn on me, and they're like, dude, who do you think you are? Get out of my face. Why are you calling me out on that? I'm simply doing what I thought we agreed to do together. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help us. We are trying to help people move closer to Jesus and learn to live in freedom. Let me say it this way. We strive to proclaim truth through grace and love. And I'm telling you right now, for some of you that don't know, you can do really hard things and you can say really tough things when your intention is founded on love covered by grace. Now, some of you are just like me. You come from traditions where you hear the words, but you don't know what that feels like and looks like. Well, we're trying to figure that out together. And almost every week, I'm sitting with somebody, and we're talking about hard things. We're talking about difficult things. We're talking about overwhelming things. And I reinforce, no condemnation, no judgment, no stone throwing. I am trying to help. I love you. I get where you're coming from. I'm just older and I'm a little bit further down the path. Some of you, God is calling you to do the hard things. And it needs to be because of love and grace. Now, I'm going to dive in here. This is a little tough, especially in our culture. But the Greek word used here in both these versions, in the ESV and the New American Standard Bible, for to be subject to the elders or your elders actually has some very powerful meaning, but it goes against the grain in our current culture. The actual Greek word means to subject oneself, to obey, to submit to one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice. These are scary phrases. But I want you to remember something. Who's the author of this letter? Who's writing these words? Peter. Remember who we've been talking about? Peter of all people. Open his mouth, put his foot in his mouth, try to take his sword and cut off a guy's head. I believe the Holy Spirit got his ear. How do you swing a sword and just get a guy's ear? You can't be that bad. You know what I mean? And we could go through all kinds of things. This is Peter saying that humility matters. This is Peter saying that we all need to humble ourselves. Peter learned to trust Jesus, and Peter learned to love him. Peter understands the power of living a life that exemplifies the lessons taught in both the teachings of Jesus, and now he's embraced them there his own. He's saying to other people that I've learned humility. You need to learn humility. We need to humble ourselves. Peter watched Jesus demonstrate everything he taught in his own life, and Peter strived to do the same. He trusted Jesus because he saw the actions of Jesus. Jesus' actions reflected everything he taught. So here's a point I want you to consider. Humble living creates an atmosphere of trust. Humble living creates an atmosphere of trust. First, you trust God. You humble yourself before God. Second, you learn to trust God's servants because you see their lifestyle, not just because you hear their great words of speaking. You humble yourself before your spiritual leaders because we actually care for your souls. And I've never asked any of you to trust me because of the position that I'm in. Most of the time, some of you, I've been in so many situations where I don't introduce myself as pastor. I don't introduce myself as minister. Now I have people find out months later and they're like, you know, the whole thing is like, oh my God, what did I say? What have I said the last 3 months? What jokes have I told? Because if I don't earn your respect and if I don't earn your trust by my lifestyle, then don't trust me. I'm not trying to lord over anybody. We're doing this because we want to do this, because God has called us to do this, because we're privileged to do this, because we care for your souls. Why do I stand up here and say hard things? Because I want to be harsh? Brr. Because I want a ton of people to be like, I hate that dude. He bites. No, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Chris loves you enough to tell you the truth. Tom loves you enough to tell you the truth. Chris loves you enough to tell you the truth. It's because we're trying to press in. And in the process of pressing into Jesus, there's some hard evaluation that needs to take place sometimes. The scripture says in these verses that humility is like personal clothing that each and every one of us must intentionally decide to wear each and every day. Why? Why would we do that? Because we have humbled ourselves to receive salvation, and we realize that we cannot live this life by ourselves. We need to learn his way, and his way is humility. So Missy's been sitting up here. Thank you, Missy, for being up here. This is not her favorite place to be. You know who was up here the first service? Mooney Frazier. Do you think Mooney was? Yeah. I love Mooney. Mooney didn't want to be up here either, so thank you. So let me show you something. I can position myself as a humble servant. Your toenails are really pretty, by the way. So I can take a posture that some of you would look and say, oh my word, Pastor Tim is so humble. Look at what he did. Do you know how many times we as human beings do beautiful things for our own credit, our own arrogance to be seen? Here's the difference in God's kingdom. This chair for me represents a place in my house and our bedroom where I study the word and where I pray. There's a lot of times where I'll be praying, I'll be talking to God, and I'll be sitting here like this, pouring my heart out. I've got my prayer book that I'm going through. But there's a lot of times where I know that for me, I have to posture myself in a humble position. And it's happened a lot the last several days. And I'll say, Father, I humble myself before you. And I'll pour my heart out to him about my struggles, about my insecurities, about my fears. And then like what the scripture says, I then make a choice to put on humility like clothing. Last service, I almost fell on my face, so I'm going to sit down and put my pants on. Some of you know my balance ain't what it used to be. So the scripture, Peter used the illustration here. He says, you need to put on humility just like you put on clothes. You need to make a choice. You need to put humility on. So here's the thing. I asked Missy to be up here for a reason. Because I love my dear sister. When we first started walking together, I'm sorry. And I would ask you about certain things. What was your response to me? No. And if you haven't seen her do street no, you got to ask her. Because it's like, oh no. She's good. But what would I say to you? I'm like, Missy, will you please allow me the privilege of helping? Will you allow me the privilege? And so it makes a difference in my heart and in my mind. Because when I have humbled myself, and now I'm serving out of humility. It's not about me. It's about her and her well-being. It's about what God is doing in her life. And it's about me just simply trying to learn to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So proud of you. Not for sitting up here. Okay, here you go. If you can't tell, this is not just teaching out of a, this is my heart. This is real to me. I just want to give you a little something to consider real quick for meditation. You taking off now? Okay. Exit stage left, quickly. Humility that is embraced and lived out impacts these following aspects of life. Humility that people see, it affects trust. Some of you, the only reason that you trust me is not because I'm a great speaker on Sunday mornings. It's because of something that you've seen that rings true of being authentic in all my failures and all my messed up. There's something that connects, and then you make a step that you're going to trust me. Humility that's lived out affects relationships. And humility that's embraced and lived out affects connectivity. You know that we have great needs in this church family for trust, relationship, and connectivity. And the only way we're going to get there is for us to humble ourselves. So let me ask you, I know that this is maybe, it's going to take a couple of statements for you to think about this, but I'm going to ask you to consider humility versus arrogance. Now, Logan said this week when we were studying, it was just amazing. Think about this. What you win people with is what you win people to. I've had some friends talking about their church families the last couple weeks, and within their church family, nobody wants to serve. Nobody wants to help. And in so many churches, think about this, what we win people with is what we win people to. So if it's just this big gig where everybody, it's like a feel good and you get all these prizes and everybody's like, you know, oh my goodness, that's what you win people to. So you got to up your game. But if we are seriously trying to press in and know Jesus and make him known and learn to love each other and learn to serve each other, and if we are all learning to make a choice that, no, I'm going to humble myself before God, and then guess what? I'm going to humble myself before other people, then we can begin to taste and see and experience these beautiful things. I'm going to say it again. What you win people with is what you win people to. Micah 6:8 in the New King James. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, or another word is loving kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 in the NLT, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and you carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke." Look at what a yoke is. Anyway, we're going to post a teaching by Craig Rochelle this week. If you can make time to listen to it, I can promise you, if you have got any kind of a heart for God, it's going to touch your heart the way it touched mine. But he addresses this. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because what does Jesus say about this? I am humble and I am gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls. There's rest in humility. Amen. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thanksgiving. I'll wrap it up by saying this. Humility is not a natural tool in my toolbox. But as I have learned to humble myself before God, humble myself before my family, humble myself before my close friends, and humble myself before you. I can't even begin to explain to you the peace and the strength and the freedom and the power that lives inside of me through humility, to the point where I can tell you that I am addicted to this component and I never want to go back to where I came from. Because making life all about me seems really cool, but it bites big time. Always wondering what I'm going to get out of it before I step into it, or trying to get all the rules so that I'm not walking by faith, I'm walking by sight. I am trying to learn to press into that more and more and let go of all that junk. And I'm just telling you, there is incredible freedom in the ability to choose to humble yourself and to learn to trust God and to learn to trust other brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'm simply inviting you to participate with things that we are already experiencing. And I can promise you, there is freedom in this way. There is great joy in this way. There is great forgiveness. There is, oh my goodness, there's all kinds of incredible things. But you have to give up yourself and you have to acknowledge Him. So, Father, we simply want you, by your Son, through your Spirit, we want more of you. Father, we want to be a humble family because your Son showed us humility. I thank you for Peter's example and how you changed him. Change us. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.